I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option. And you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will drain it. Yeah.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I have some sad news. Sad news.
What happened?
Did you see what's trending on Twitter today? Here for Liam, all caps. Liam
no,
Payne.
I just woke up like 10 minutes ago. What?
Liam happened? Payne and Maya Henry are broken up. They're not engaged anymore.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah. We just talked about him on an episode of Who's There, I think, but I cut it because it was boring.
This was an interesting couple. This is a bummer to me. They were like an interesting couple. She worked for this relationship.
She worked so hard. So did her dad. Honestly, her dad worked more.
I know.
Her dad, in case you forgot, is Thomas J. Henry, who is a Central
a
Texas,
is a
Central
He's a hometown
Texas
hero.
Ambulance chaser, who is really funny. And every billboard in San Antonio is for Thomas J. Henry. Every commercial is for Thomas J. Henry. Every conversation I have with my dad is about Thomas J. Henry.
So you're telling me he's literally single-handedly propping up the marketing budget of the greater San Antonio area. Tell me that's not a, you know, a coup.
Yeah, I worry about a lot of things.
That's not the right word.
I worry about a lot of things surrounding him, but he is really supporting the local economy. There's a really funny...
Who do you think pays for, like, the fixing a bridge? You know, it's this money from this billboard or whatever.
Here at Thomas J. Henry, our sole focus, day in, day out, for every case, for every trial, is to help our clients.
Other things he spent money on, we talked about him years ago, is he spent money trying to make his family a famous reality TV family, but it didn't quite take. He made his own internet online only reality show called like Having Fun with Los Henrys or something.
Yeah, so, no, it is. And you can find it. I'm not sure if you still can, but it's on, it was on
deleted,
Vimeo. When
it was on Vimeo.
First...
They deleted all of them.
Wow.
But Maya Henry
yeah, well,
is
when
his
she
daughter.
Finally got the, she finally got the ring, but I guess it was easier said than done.
She had like the $1 million quinceañera or something.
I mean, I think her idealized version of being with Liam Payne was maybe ruined because he said, he revealed it on
a podcast,
and they said, what happened? And he said, I feel like more than anything at this point, I'm more disappointed in myself that I keep on hurting people, which I was like, maybe Maya Henry was like, maybe I actually don't want to be engaged to this guy.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Or married
to.
Right.
It's very, I haven't watched it because it's one of those podcasts that they film as well. But I've seen screenshots. I've listened to the
Diary
clip. It's there.
Of a CEO?
Uh-huh.
Is that
it's just like 20-something English entrepreneur who like struck it rich by creating the social company like a few years ago, and now he's rich. And you know when like startup people get rich and they think they're experts on everything? He's one of those people.
Well, I was gonna say, like, why would Liam Payne talk to him then? Like, is Liam Payne an expert in business too, or is like, what do they have in what's the even? Did like he they meet at a party or something? I bet
he has people on. He has guests on his show, and I'm assuming they're both around the same age. They're both cute. Like, they're both English. I feel like they just knew each other, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I didn't listen to the beginning. I just scrolled to hear the part about Maya Henry.
I'm just not very good at them, so I just need to, like, work on myself before I put myself onto somebody else. And I feel that's where I got to in my last relationship. I just wasn't given a very good version of me anymore that I didn't appreciate and I didn't like being. And I can honestly say that I feel better out of it. I didn't feel good for doing what...
I thought this was funny. So this host, whose name is Stephen Bartlett, on his episode description, it's like a long intro, like a long rambling episode description, like in the show notes. But then at the bottom, it has like bulleted this week's topics. And let me go through them. And I highlighted my favorite part, but it's really funny. You'll tell. Lockdown in the gym. Okay. Dealing with being famous. Your sure. relationship status.
Yikes.
Being a perfectionist.
Always.
Alcoholism. One Direction and the costs.
Well,
your NFT project. Okay.
Do not want to hear about this.
Where would you be if you hadn't gone on X Factor? Okay.
Great question.
Not a really fun thought experiment, though. That's not a fun thing to think
about.
Yeah, no, not
at all. Not at all.
Your relationship with the rest of the boys and touring.
Okay. Okay.
I am lucky to be here. Have I hit my rock bottom?
Why would you ask that?
Why would you ask that? And then this, you made a movie? You made a movie?
You made a movie. You wrote a movie.
What I love is what you have here is, of course, trending this morning, which is how I think you found out about this information. Trending this morning is here for Liam. And I would love for you to think of a thought experiment, which is imagine a fan being like, I'm here for Maya. Like, I choose Maya in this breakup, you know? Like, of course the fans are here for Liam. Like,
He's also done, as you said in that quote, like, he's done a good job of making it seem like he's not trying to vilify her in any way, you know, like, which I think is very nice. Even if it's a lie, like, it's good whenever a relationship ends like this where you're not trying to add more fuel to the fire, you know?
Somewhere along the way, we forgot that this man has a kid with Cheryl Cole, you know? The Cheryl Cole. Cheryl!
I'm sorry, check my memory. Cheryl. I never forgot that. That's at the forefront.
That's amazing that that happened.
Someone put the like Eternal Sunshine helmet on my head and tried to find that memory, they'd be like, got it in 2 seconds. They'd be like, it's right here. We found the memory. This was one of those situations where, like, I think at least I'm speaking for myself here, but like, I was excited about the wedding. Like, this would have been a really funny, fun wedding, you know, like Christine Quinn.
I mean, it would have been like, really bat mitzvah vibes, like, you know.
I mean, the guest list alone, his side alone, plus her side.
Oh, yeah. Think of all the famous Texans that would be there.
Like, the CEO of Taco Cabana, the CEO of HEB. Oh, my goodness.
Think about the deals that could have been struck in that room alone.
The cast of Pig Royalty.
Oh, do you think Chip and Joanna would have gone?
They would have been invited. Yeah, I bet.
You don't think they would have gone? Okay, very rude that you think that they wouldn't have gone to this theoretical wedding that is not happening.
They're very busy.
Okay.
She's shooting more episodes of Magnolia Table.
For
Warner Media Discovery Plus, whatever it's called now. Have you seen the new logo for that thing? It's called like...
Yeah, it's terrible.
Warner Media Discovery Time. Okay, this was also kind of interesting. So the Black China... It's interesting. The Black China lawsuit against the Kardashians has not gone away. In fact, I believe it's going to court like in the fall. This is actually happening, which we talked about. It's shocking.
If I were to post anything on Twitter that was like, why aren't people talking about this? It would be this, because I feel like people are not talking about the fact that Black China's lawsuit against the Kardashians has gone really far. Like, it might even be successful. Like, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. So she's, in case you forgot, she's suing them for, it's like defamation. It's defamation.
But it's kind of funny and not getting her a second season of her reality show.
There's some sort of interference with her reality show contract. So it's like she's accusing them of defaming her publicly and also like fucking with her contract with E! Where she had that show Robin China.
Which is all true because they did not want a second season of that show. They own that channel, or at least they used to until they said bye-bye, you know? And of course that happened, right?
And so she announced this lawsuit and I feel like the Kardashians get sued all the time. It's just like famous people. That's why they have lawyers, because they're always dealing with legal problems that never really comes to the fore. You know, they like settle it. It goes away. It was frivolous to begin with. This lawsuit stood the test of time. And not only did it stand the test of time, there's going to be a trial in October.
I think they're like, we refuse to pay this woman any more than we've been paying her already, because they definitely, you know, already pay her money via child support and stuff, you know, from the Kardashian trust or whatever it is. And I think when this came up, they were like, we'll just fight this. And I am interested to see how that goes for them.
And Black China has been a very interesting figure in the Kardashian universe. Number one, because she started as a friend. And also her story with Rob was initially, at least, I think it became something much darker over time after Dream was born. But like, it started as this very like rehabilitation heavy relationship where she was like, I'm going to fix you. You know, like, I'm going to make you better. I'm going to be the woman that you needed. I'm going to be the support system that you do not have in your own family. And I think that's why people were rooting for her.
Yeah, Rita couldn't fix him. So China stepped up for the plate.
Right. And then she was essentially like kicked out of this family. And Rob became a little more active and a little more of a participant in the Kardashian narrative, whereas he had kind of like drifted away for a little bit.
Well, she was kind of his like rebellion in a way, or became that, even though it's, I guess that's not entirely true, because when they got a show, they were back in the system. So, you know, it's almost weird how it was like a double-handed situation there. But like, because it's like, if they probably were like, we don't want Rob with Black China, but if he is going to have to be with her, they might as well have a show and we'll make money off of it.
Yes. And the reason we're talking about her today is because she released a new song, and the song is called Hollywood.
Would you call Black China a singer? Because I wouldn't.
No.
No offense, but I wouldn't call her a singer.
No. She is a musician. I mean, I think of her as like her business owner, right? What did she sell? Like lashes?
Lashes.
Yeah. And it was very successful.
It's auto-tuned?
Auto-tuned. It's all auto-tuned. Why couldn't I think of that word? It's all auto-tuned.
Right. I mean, it sounds like Black China. You could tell it's her voice. But it, you know, it's
terrible
definitely...
lyrics.
It definitely has like some AI assistance.
But there's something, it's called Hollywood, and it's about
it's
her
like practically Grimes at this point, you know?
Yes. It's almost as though she's trying to send a message about this. Like she's trying to be, people are trying to kick her out of Hollywood. This one is called Hollywood. She's trying to stay in Hollywood. She's trying to show the truth about Hollywood. It's not a great song, but if you try to read between the lines, and again, maybe it's too much credit. We're giving Black China too much credit to say that there are even lines to read between. But if you do that, you will find a wealth of suggestions that she is in some way talking about the Kardashians. The video ends with "to be continued." And that's either like, I'm releasing more music, or I'll have more to say after this trial. I don't know. I feel like there's an 80% chance I'm reading too much into this video, but there is a there because of this trial.
Right.
I'm really eager to see what comes of this, because nothing ever goes this far with these people.
It's interesting. And they're trying to like bury the news about it, I can tell, because if you notice, it's written about specific places, but not other places that would normally pick up things like this.
You know, like Page Six is it. Page Six is basically it.
It's like no one else is talking about it. Okay, moving on. Somewhere darker. Darker?
Oh, this? Much darker. Much darker. Ilaria Baldwin and Alec Baldwin.
Who hates us.
Yes.
Our enemy, Alec Baldwin.
Teased a project on Instagram, and come to find out the project was, it's 2021. Of course, the project is a podcast. And I cannot believe the name of this podcast. I cannot believe the name of this podcast.
Do you want to? You want me to say it?
Say it. Say it.
What's one more?
Because when you think about it, what's one more, baby? When you're building the family you want to spend all your time with? Or what's one more meal when you're surrounded by people you cherish? Or in my case, what's one more brownie? What's one more scoop of ice cream?
Love those brownies.
Yeah. I mean, in our case, my wife and I, what's one more podcast?
New episodes every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're only supposed to say glowing things about me on this podcast.
Get it? Because they have too many kids.
Go to space with Jeff Bezos. Did you see he's shooting himself into space like next month?
Bye-bye. Good. Great. I've seen space movies. One person always doesn't come back. So see ya.
No, I saw this because a mutual friend of ours texted that story this morning and said, wow, I can't believe Jeff Bezos is going to die in space next month. Because it's like, oh my God. Anyway, see if there's two more seats on that plane and send Ilaria and
I'm
Alec
sorry.
Up there.
Does
with
Alec
them.
Baldwin need another podcast? Like, give me a
Lindsay,
break.
That's the concept. Did you listen to the trailer?
Oh, I thought it was What's One More Child, not What's One More Podcast. Is that both? It's both.
Together with friends, specialists, authors, and doctors, they'll discuss relationships, marriage, parenting, and more to help us listen and learn about each other, adds the announcement. Because what's one more of the thing you love the most in this world, be it family, friends, meals, or anything you cherish, when you're trying to motivate the world to accept one another? What's one more family? What's one more friends? Like, nothing about this, like, syntax makes any sense. What's one more family?
But honestly, I find these two to be the least relatable people alive. So why would I want to listen to their podcast about parenting if I was a parent, you know? Like, Sorry, she has 8 kids or whatever, right? Like, I just don't, I don't think that that's relatable to really anyone of a normal life, right?
Mm-hmm. Also in the teaser, they talk about how they've spent every waking moment with just the two of them for the past year. And it's like, I know for a fact that you've got a pretty major staff, like, helping out your family. It hasn't just been the two of you.
Right, and it would be impossible otherwise.
There's only a trailer out. It has 206 ratings. It looks like about 95% of those are 1-star on iTunes. No one's heard it. Everyone's trolling. They're being very rude. A lot of people are using the subject in their reviews, no gracias, which is clearly a reference to Ilaria's Spanish language
people
scandal.
People have not forgotten.
But the Instagram is down. So they must have been getting trolled in the comments as well because the
What's
One
What
More
I noticed.
Instagram is gone.
They created an Instagram. Was it really called What's One More Instagram?
Uh-huh. That's it was called
funny.
Like What's One More Pod or something like that. But yes, it was the actual
But that's
Instagram.
Funnier. That's less funny than What's One More Instagram. Anyways, they had one and then it got taken down. So there's something obviously going on here with this podcast. Maybe I can't imagine these two didn't know that when they would release a podcast together that people would say, I don't want to listen to it. I'm sure people will listen to it, but like – people who don't want to listen to it might say that, you know?
Yeah.
The comments. So maybe you shouldn't create that many spaces to advertise it if you don't want people commenting, like, I don't want to hear this.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah. I don't want to hear this regardless. I want nothing to do with this.
What's something you do want something to do with?
I Yell at Waldman is in a fight with Jeanette Goldstein. And this is we're bordering on not territory here, right? Because like I Yell at Waldman does not need to be spoken about in this podcast at all.
I was gonna say, like, this is a little bit like cut-worthy already by the names, but you can do it.
But the person who makes this worth talking about, like, whatever, who cares? I Yell at Waldman. She's just a
Jeanette
writer. Jeanette Goldstein is the who here, right? Jeanette Goldstein is the anchor
to the
story.
Remind the audience who she is.
Jeanette Goldstein is most famously, I would say, Vasquez in Aliens.
Hey, Vasquez. Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
No. Have you?
Oh, Vasquez. It is too bad.
But she's also, I guess, Jim Cameron, like I'm his friend. Jim, like I'm calling Robert De Niro Bob. Okay, so James Cameron also clearly must like this one because he's cast her as, I think he's, what's his name? The boy, what's his name in Terminator 2? John Connor. John Connor's like a foster mom who gets like killed by the T-1000. And in Terminator 2, and she's also most iconically, I would say more iconically than Vasquez in Aliens, she's the Irish mother in Titanic who's like in the land of Tir na n'Og, who's like reading to the babies as they die in the water.
Oh,
remember
that's
her?
Iconic. Jeanette Goldstein. That's a legendary role.
That's enough. We should talk about her every week for being
that's
that woman.
That's enough. Okay? Put her in the Hall of Fame. I don't think there is one. Put her in there.
Put her in the Louvre. Okay. So,
okay, but she also owns a bra store.
Called like Jeanette's Bras, right? And their tagline is, which is quite clever, the alphabet starts at D because they only sell bras that are oversized D,
which
right?
Which is genius. Because the whole thing is like, as you know, via our ads for bras sometimes, bras have need to be very specifically sized and often aren't. And so she's saying, oh, we only offer above D. We're going to be very specific and cater to women with big boobs.
Yeah.
Jeanette Goldstein.
I'm Jeanette Goldstein. I was reading some interviews with her before this, like just talking about her story, which is apparently, I guess it's one of those, like, if you know, you know, like if you are the type of person who needs a bra size, that's a bra that's oversized D, because yeah, you have sure. like this personalized service. She has all these great employees that help you find the right bra. So I guess word okay, got to here? I yell at Waldman, who is, again, she's not really a who, it doesn't really count. She's a writer. She's written a book most recently. She wrote a book on like how microdosing changed her life. Her husband is Michael Chabon, who's the author who wrote like Cavalier.
They're
and Play.
Like, I would say a literary power, they're a literary couple, power couple, if that exists in the world, you know, like
she has large adult sons.
Usually okay, like a genre it's... we don't touch, but yes. you know, if we did touch that, if we did talk about a lot of like book writer who's, author who's, these two might appear, you know?
Yes, it's really not even worth getting into it. The point is, out of the blue, out of the clear blue sky, someone was, I guess, on Jeanette Goldstein's bra company's bra store's Yelp and saw an angry review, a one-star review from a person who seems to be I.L. at Waldman, I.L. at W., kind of a unique name in Berkeley, California, which is where they live most of the time. And she writes this long, I don't need to read the whole review, but she's like,
exhausting,
angry, it's exhausting. She's like, you know what? Everyone said this place was great. I gave it a shot. It wasn't great. My experience sucked. I bought bras anyway, which is sort of the most baffling part of the whole thing. Anyway, she's angry. The thing that makes this unbelievably good is that, you know how sometimes the business owner can reply if they're like, I'm
oh,
so sorry
you
had...
Oh, that's the best part.
Yeah, like, I'm so sorry that
or
you had this
they'll
experience.
Be like,
give me
hey,
a call. Thanks for the good review.
This person came to our store, told us this, we fixed it. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. you know, here's how we fix this issue, right?
Like, honestly, thank God Apple Podcasts doesn't allow the podcast uploaders to respond to reviews, or you would have weird conversations like this, right?
Oh, I'd respond to every single one. I would respond to every single review just for fun.
This is, for someone I haven't thought about since the last time I watched Titanic, which I think was June 2020, I am now suddenly like...
Which
wasn't that long ago. Which is, yeah. I am now... I guess I watched Aliens even more recently than that. Point is, I am now like the number one Jeanette Goldstein fan in the entire world because of this response.
I mean, how could you not be? This is art.
Hey, I yell it, comma. Hey, comma, I yell it, comma. You think you're disappointed? I microdosed for 6 weeks after reading your book and got bupkis. After a while, my husband started doubling the dose each time. Still nothing. Finally, we ate a whole tab just to confirm there was something in there. There was, and that led to an extreme amount of house cleaning. So, like you, I can't say it was a total write-off, but still, just know that you now have a skeptical reader in me. Well, anyway, I'm sorry I didn't see this in a timely manner, and I'm very sorry for your bad experience. I can't really track down all the factors of your perfect bra storm from this late weird vantage, but let me just say, it all usually goes a lot better. I know she's really funny.
She's a really good writer.
If someday you should discover that we are the last bra store in the world, I know, but the way things are going, and you have no other option sort of sewing your own bras out of drapes. Send me a message ahead of time, and I will personally oversee your entire transaction like a hawk to ensure there are no further screw-ups. In support, which is iconic.
Jeanette. In support as a sign up for a bra owner is everything.
I've read this now, I think, 5 times, and I love it more every time.
Jeanette's a better writer than Isla, I think, at this point. Give Jeanette Goldstein a book deal, am I right? Come on. I mean, just, I can't really track down all the factors of your perfect bra storm from this late weird vantage.
It's so good. And it's like weirdly like... Well, first of all, she didn't have to do this. She didn't have to do this. This review would have been lost to the world. But, like, clearly, I don't think you do... I mean, unless you're, like, a sociopath, which I guess is possible. But, like, I don't think you would leave a response like this unless you knew a lot of details that you're not telling. So this
I
review...
I mean, she
as...
didn't leave this response almost a year ago in June for to know that a year later somebody would put it on Twitter and it would right. go viral. You know, like, clearly, this has been sitting here waiting for somebody to find it. But, you know, maybe it would have never been found.
For as bombastic as that review is, it's also, like, there... I feel like there's a lot of restraint there, too. She's not saying what she really wants to say, so she's saying this instead, and it just so happens that because she's a funny writer, like, it's totally fun. Like, it's totally fine. Like, I feel like there are a lot of details that have been left unsaid, and that kind of even though I'm completely speculating, it makes me like her even more.
There's genuinely bad customer service, and then there's genuinely bad customers, and that's that. Mm-hmm. And there's more likely bad customers.
If you had to guess what a video on YouTube with 1.8 million views that contains the scene when obviously the Titanic is sinking, and then you have Jeanette Goldstein saying, reading the nursery rhyme to her children, what would you guess that the video is called?
Irish Mother Titanic Sinking.
No, but it's 3.5 minutes, so it's a lot of, it's like them playing Nearer My God to Thee, it's the old, it's okay, like the Astors clutching each other in the bed.
Titanic Sinking Scenes.
No, it's called Titanic Dramatic Moment.
Okay, I would argue that I'm close.
Listen.
And so they lived happily together for 300 years in the land of Tir na n Og, land of eternal youth and beauty.
Oh, her great red wig.
She's great. Can you read this again, but in that accent and tone?
No, we'll lose all of our Irish listeners if I do that.
Can you please read it again, but with that accent in that tone?
No.
Okay, fine.
Let's get one of our Irish listeners to call in and read the IL at Waldman email.
Yelp in an
Irish accent.
In Jeanette's your native Irish accent yes, from Titanic.
Yes, please.
We'll play the music under it also.
So we have three stories about new-ish relationships wherein famous people, and in many cases thems, are dating people with names I have never heard in my entire life. Let's begin with Mary J. Blige, who was dating someone named Conway the Machine. Conway the Machine, after a cursory Google search, I found that he's actually, you know, quite notable, but I'm not alone in not knowing who this man is. He's a rapper. He released
a
well-received
Conway the Machine.
I couldn't figure out why his name is Conway the Machine, because his real name is DeMond Price. Point is, he released a sort of well-received album. I think it was his second or his first actual album, came out last year, was well-received, didn't really top the charts or anything. So it stands to reason that maybe I've not even heard of this person. You know who else hasn't heard of this person? Wendy Williams.
Well, this makes me feel better, because it's like, if Wendy's like, who is this guy? I'm like, okay, I guess.
Who follows as much as she can, but has a history, like, it's in her DNA to follow music, right? It's in her DNA to follow hip-hop.
I mean,
and
Wendy
she had never
who's people
person.
All the time, but I just am kind of, I feel like a little bit better that we don't know who this guy is, because Wendy's like, who is he? And he, of course, responded to that, which is like, his response is kind of funny.
You have to hear Wendy. Here's Wendy. Listen to this. So she's talking about a clip from some guy named his top five favorite rappers, and she's reading them and reacting to them on air.
I know what our first fight's going to be, though. Should I choose him? He's got a top five rapper list. Yeah, no, he watches our show, so he knows, you know. Now, his top five are Wu-Tang, Nas, Conway the Machine. Who's that?
I never heard of Conway the Machine.
Who's that?
A good artist. It's not my taste.
It's in his top five. Okay, Jadakiss and Common. All right. So you know, there's a piece of confetti that just fell on the floor.
Okay, so Conway the Machine put this on his Instagram. I'm playing this video from Conway the Machine's Instagram, which is, by the way, who is Conway? That's his handle on everything, which
That's
I think
so
is sort of funny.
Funny.
Well,
so
Wendy
clearly
show.
Somebody's a little self-aware. That's why when you read this comment, you have to realize he's like clearly self-aware.
Well, Wendy show, I'll tell you exactly who I am. I'm the best rapper alive currently. That's why I'm in people's top five. Currently. I guarantee you'll hear my name mentioned a lot, respectfully.
I Conway love that it ends with respectfully.
Conway the Machine.
Well, now she's going to hear it again because Mary J. Blige
because
is dating him.
Because Mary J. Blige is dating him. And this is sourced, like, only in a few places. I'm not sure if I really believe it, and I haven't seen a photo of them together. I've seen them together in like a video, and he posted a video of her saying like, "We love you, Mary." I'm willing to believe it. I'm willing to believe it. Drive, not to see where I get this ambition from, and it drives the machine. I'm iller than anyone that's alive. Look, bought the Benz truck and the Maybach with no license, straight from dealership, not from the auction with the low prices. A long way from selling white and running from the police. Who is Archie Keswick? Do you have an answer to that question? Because I don't.
Yeah, he's dating Sienna Miller. Archie is the director of the Mandarin Oriental Hotel Group, and he's said to be a, quote, longtime pal of Sienna. In an article from over 10 years ago, The Guardian calls him, quote, a close friend of the actress, writes Just Jared, which I think is means that somebody did at least one search, which I love for them.
That's good. Yeah, they were photographed holding hands. She had sunglasses on. He had sunglasses on, along with croquis. Which sort of made me feel like I should get my croquis back out. If Sienna Miller is into people holding with croquis on their sunglasses, maybe they're hip.
You think Sienna Miller is going to be into you if you wear croquis?
No, I don't want to be. I don't want her to be into me, but I'm saying, are they hip or croquis cool or are croquis lame?
I don't know. I think that's still like debatable.
That's debatable? Okay.
Yeah.
Next, we have someone who maybe we've talked about. Maybe we have not.
I don't think we've ever talked about her. I think she's been cut from every single episode.
Okay, so Alexandra Daddario, whom you may or may not remember as someone we've cut from the podcast countless times, is dating a man named Andrew Form. Have we talked about Andrew Form? Unclear.
Certainly not. Certainly unclear. Not. He's a 52-year-old movie producer.
And he used to be married to Jordana Brewster.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Yes.
Oh, this was what I was trying to explain to you over. Oh, right. And okay.
Wait, what happened?
Mason Morfitt is back, and he is Alexandra Daddario's new boyfriend's ex. No, that's not right. He is Alexandra Daddario's new boyfriend's ex-wife's ex. This is that.
I see. Alexandra Daddario steals kiss from boyfriend Andrew. Ex-wife Jordana Brewster approves. Okay. Okay.
So Mason Morfitt. So Alexandra Daddario's new boyfriend's ex-wife's ex.
I am short-circuiting, Lindsay.
No, like, I'm telling you, like, I'm trying to figure out because we've talked about this guy because of Jordana Brewster, but then Jordana Brewster has an ex that's also dating someone that we talk about. Mason Morfitt is involved in this somehow. You know what? I think we might just have to not figure this out because I just think it's too confusing.
It's really nice to not know who Andrew Form is, and it's really nice to not really dig into anything involving Alexandra Daddario. It's
I
canon.
Know Mason Moore. I just know Mason Morfitt's involved because mm-hmm. he's always involved, you know?
Speaking of names that I know we've mentioned on this podcast, but are worth remembering because I'm certain that you forgot them, Alexa Chung is dating a chocolate heir named Orson Fry.
Orson Fry. This is not new, but it is just something I stumbled upon and texted Bobby, did you know that Alexa Chung is dating some guy named Orson Fry?
And my response was, I think so.
Yeah.
Right. I think so, sure. Because the rumors about them dating started 2 years ago, and I think we probably discussed this, if only because what's funnier than Alexa Chung, a model, dating a younger man who happens to be a chocolate heir to a chocolate
fortune.
Well,
he was a mystery hunk for a while, and then he was revealed to be, quote, the heir to the Fry's chocolate empire, who is 12 years her junior, because on the sun.
Mm-hmm.
She was then said to be loved up with handsome boyfriend, chocolate heir Orson Fry. So he's literally a chocolate heir named Orson Fry. This like Willy Wonka motherfucker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Fry chocolate? What is that? What is Fry chocolate empire?
It's old. It's old, old, old. Like so old it began in the 18th century.
Do they even still make chocolate?
Milk chocolate. It's mostly milk chocolate.
Am I supposed to buy this at the?
See, I think they got bought by Cadbury or something. Like it doesn't really exist anymore.
See it.
I think they merged with Cadbury in 1919. See, I think we've done this. And you have to keep this in anyway because sometimes
we have?
I think so. But even if we have, it's worth keeping it in.
I'm not remembering at all.
I searched all of our docs for instances of Orson Fry and Alexa Chung.
I feel like I mementoed that. I'm literally reading. I feel like I'm reading this for the first time.
This is what happens.
If you tell me I'm not, I'll feel insane because it means that I forgot completely.
I just loved this lead from, I believe it's The Mirror. He's handsome, rich, and comes with a steady supply of chocolate. Yep, Alexa Chung's new boyfriend might just be the perfect man.
He doesn't actually come with a steady supply of chocolate, though, you know?
No, I don't think so.
He's young. He's rich.
He's handsome, rich, and comes with a steady supply of chocolate.
Hello there. Guten Tag. Hola. Hala. Bonjour. Ciao. Konnichiwa. Fear not, I haven't actually malfunctioned and forgotten what language I speak. It is I, Alexa, the human.
Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets. I got sheets. Me too. I got beautiful sheets. I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow. That's so nice to hear, because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not from Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/who. Mothers. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
up.
And
we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
that. Of their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Everyone loves these stories.
Any
in the family.
Good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. It helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers for years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase. This is sort of funny, a little sad. Yeah. Sammy Sweetheart unfollowed her fiance.
Okay, here's why I like this, though. I mean, I don't like this because it's sad. Yeah, but here's why I like this story. Whenever we get a story about somebody unfollowing somebody on Instagram, the question always remains, were they following them in the first place? Mm-hmm. And no one has ever figured out how to figure out whether somebody was following someone once they have unfollowed.
Right.
Like,
okay.
There is no machinery that can, like, go back in time and, like, tell you that they were following. The act of the unfollow is not able to be noted. What mm-hmm. is noted is the whether they're following them or not. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
But these two were engaged. So they were 150% definitely following each other at one point. So therefore saying, oh, it is therefore news. I said therefore twice. Mm-hmm. It is news that they've unfollowed each other. I'm like, oh, yes, actually, that is news. That does make a difference. And it does seem like if you and your fiance unfollowed each other, that might mean something's going on with their relationship.
That's true. She also scrubbed all of his photos from her Instagram.
Okay, well, obviously that's a secondary. That's a big one too. But do you know what I mean? Like, this is always used as like this evidence, and I hate it, you know, because I always see it and I'm like,
How do you know that Khloe Kardashian was following like one of her friends? You know, how do you know? Like, we don't necessarily know. But here, I think we can say we know.
Right. We can say with a decent amount of certainty that we know.
People are saying that this might be the reason why Sammy would come back to Jersey Shore and be on the show. Because also Ronnie is not going to be on the show, probably.
They need to bring her back. I haven't watched the most recent season of Family Vacation, but
I would
assume
love
you need
to switch out Ronnie for Sammy.
Ronnie
just
is
get
too
him
dark.
Out of here. Ronnie get is Sammy too dark. In here. They'd have so much fun with her.
I was actually rewatching the first season of Jersey Shore, one of my favorite seasons of television of all time, on Hulu. Still as good as ever. But I was trying to remember who Christian Biscardi is and you know, to see if I knew anything about him. And I didn't. But I found a story on Us Weekly called Sammy Sweetheart Giancola's Fiancé Christian Biscardi, Five Things to Know Amid Rumored Split. Okay?
Oh, yes.
And
okay.
The fifth thing is stupid, but the first four things are like the least helpful things you could possibly know about Sammy Sweetheart's boyfriend. Guess
what's new?
If Sammy Sweetheart were dating someone, give me some traits you would expect in this man.
Tall, dark, handsome?
No, but like more general traits that they would use. No, I'm just going to read them. He's a New Jersey native.
Oh, okay. Well,
he
sure,
loves
one.
He loves cars.
Same.
He's a fan of the gym. Oh. And he's a family man.
So like gym tan laundry is what you're saying.
These are all things that like essentially Sammy and JWoww and Snooki say at the beginning of episode one of Jersey Shore, where they're like, I'm just looking for
a guy from New Jersey,
a Guido.
Who loves the gym, who stays in shape.
Who likes cars, who's
who
a fan of the gym,
family.
Who loves his family. I was just like, oh my God, I just heard them say this in 2008.
Right. I want to marry Guido. My ultimate dream is to move to Jersey, find a nice, juiced, hot, tan guy, and live my life.
Which is nice because it means that she foreshadowed her dream man, and here he is. Well,
I also saw that
anymore.
She just opened a store on the shore, and I'm a little
called
happy
Sweet
for her.
Sweetheart Coast.
Sweetheart Coast, and I
genius.
Also think that adds
genius.
Credence to your theory that she's going to come back to the show because she needs to
I
promote
think so.
That. She Snooki needs to promote show, the store.
Snooki's stores do well, and if you notice, Snooki left the show and then came back. Again, I don't watch Jersey Shore Family Reunion anymore, but I do see the news when I see the promos because the promos make the tabloids where Snooki did leave and then she came back. And I kind of think that she left to come back and make news, but that's just my conspiracy theory brain.
Anyway, we're going to go. Lindsay and I are going to go to the grand opening of Sweetheart Coast on the Ocean City Boardwalk on June 14th.
I am impressed.
See you there.
That the address is 1356 Boardwalk. She's right on the fucking boardwalk. That's cool. Because, like, Snooki stores aren't on the boardwalk. They're, like, God knows where. You know, they're deeper into Jersey. This woman, Sammy, went right for the boardwalk. She said, I'm known for this. Put my store on the boardwalk. I'll sell some tchotchkes, you know?
Yeah, it's, like, jewelry, but it's also decoration and clothes.
Clothing, accessories, home decor, gifts.
I mean, we've all been to a little tchotchke shop in a, like, tourist town. They're all the same. We know what to expect from Sweetheart Coast.
Does anybody know how to peel garlic?
Chloe, do you know how to do garlic?
No idea.
Sam is definitely the cutest girl in the house. And there's definitely a big possibility of me and Sam hooking up.
This is going to become a lot of food, dude.
Oh, this is good.
You're a good girl helping out in the kitchen.
Wifey material right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's good material right there.
You tell me exactly what to do.
Hey, it's up to you. What do you think?
You tell me.
We don't have to talk about Ashley Benson's hemp spawn.
You mean
we...
hemp's with a Z?
Do we have to talk about it then?
You mean hemp's, a lotion that literally is called hemp's with a Z? I don't know if we need to, actually.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you were Ashley Benson, you would say, knowing that every ingredient going to my body is super healthy and that I'm not putting all kinds of weird chemicals on, my skin is so nice, I moisturize a ton, and knowing that nothing harmful is going into my body makes me very comfortable putting all this on, she explained, noting that the brand is all natural and paraben-free.
Okay, fine.
We've said enough about this. Okay, this is a new one for me. She came out on an Instagram story, but not in a way that anyone has really verified. They're just like, I think Sophie Turner came out as bisexual. Maybe. Perhaps. Or gay.
Either
we're not
she
sure.
did or she just searched like bisexual or gay on like the Giphy app and like put these GIFs that just came up first, you know?
The headline on page 6.
Because either that or she came out via GIF, via like Instagram GIF.
I think she came out via Instagram GIF, which is a new one.
I'm sorry. Imagine the, compared to like a terrible coming out experience, imagine the ease of being a celebrity, being married, and coming out via a potato sitting on a bike that says, move, I'm gay.
Yeah, is that a potato?
You know
what
I mean?
It?
Like
there are legs.
Pounds of content devoted to, you know, the traumatizing experiences of people coming out. Meanwhile, Sophie Turner posts "Buy Pride" in a tart, and that's that.
And then posts an animated text, like 3D text spinning, that says, "Time isn't straight, and neither am I." But the Page Six headline for this said, "Sophie Turner celebrates Pride, colon," which is very smart wording. "Sophie Turner celebrates Pride, colon, quote, time isn't straight and neither am I." You really have to do a lot of clicking to realize that she didn't type that. She just found a GIF that says that, which I think is different. There's a line there.
There is, but did she ever confirm all of the outlets saying Sophie Turner comes out as not gay? I mean, not straight. Oh, God. Sorry, not straight.
She said she's like, talked
did she
about
say
like
anything
being,
else.
She's talked about being.
Like, you can be married
fluid.
To a man and not straight. But I just, it just is interesting to, right, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to come out via Instagram story that is extraordinarily vague, you know?
Yes. And she's talked about sexuality in the past, but also in vague terms, which is, again, like, totally her right. But I love that this particular post is still so baffling and vague that people can't even really extrapolate from it. You have to still discuss it in these strange, uncertain terms, like Sophie Turner celebrates Pride, time isn't straight, and neither am I. Like, they're saying everything but Sophie Turner comes out as not straight, comes out as queer, which would, I guess, make sense.
Move,
but
I'm
she?
Gay is the funniest. Like, what is that? It's just like a potato with legs on
it's a potato with, like, sexy legs on a bicycle saying, move, I'm gay. Sure. Is that a potato? It's also holding a rainbow flag.
I mean, is that not progress? Come on.
Jesus. Now I'm thinking about, like, Rock Hudson. What if Rock Hudson came out in 2021 on Instagram stories, but it was like, it's like me at Chick-fil-A when I find out that they're donating to anti-LGBTQ+ causes, and it's like the Viola Davis gif, like, picking up her bag and leaving. It's like Rock Hudson appears to, I don't know, vilify Chick-fil-A's anti-gay policies in Instagram story gif. It's like, what? Move, I'm gay.
I'm telling you, it's like,
I love Pride. I also love Fair Abraham. We were going to talk about this last week and then we didn't have time, but I didn't want to skip it. It's a week old, but it's still so funny because I love when celebrities do this.
Teen Mom Fair Abraham continues to, like, make news, which you really have to respect because
it's hard.
And her fame should have been 15 to 20 minutes, but it instead has been, like, multiple years, you know, via, like, all these different things that she's done, bad and good, mm-hmm. but she remains written about. And this time she's been being written about because she kept saying she was going to Harvard. She keeps saying, I'm going to Harvard. I'm graduating from Harvard. But everybody was like, what? Are you sure? Like, I don't think you're going to Harvard. And she was like, no, I am going to Harvard. And she
checked,
like,
my Facebook. I'm going to
and
Harvard.
She, like, posted on it LinkedIn that she's, like, in Harvard, like, going to Harvard. I'm moving to Cambridge, Massachusetts. And then she posted a TikTok in which, like, I'll play it here. But, like, she's like, daughter, I forget her daughter's name. Daughter, tell them where mommy's going to school or whatever. And the girl's like, Harvard.
Friends again. Thanks for being a hater and somebody who's getting their master's at Harvard. You're so funny. But you know what? Bank accounts don't lie. Neither does my baby. So where's your mommy enrolled for school right now?
Harvard.
Cry.
Cry about it.
Cry about that.
I guess she posted on Facebook. Yeah, Farrah it's Abraham Facebook. Is in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 1 month. Will start school at Harvard University. So now I'm like, does she think she's going to Harvard or is she actually enrolled in Harvard? And I'm like, should we be worried that she got taken for, like, a scam where somebody told her she was going to Harvard, but in fact it's Harvard? Or does she think it's Harvard because that's the way, like, a Bostonian would say it, and she's, like, already trying on her Boston accent because she's moving to Cambridge?
It's really impossible to know which one of those scenarios is the right one. When it's Farrah Abraham, like, it literally could be any of those things. It could be all of them at once. You know?
I mean, we've talked about in the past all of these, like, special programs for celebrities. I mean, you can pay your way into basically any sort of certificate that says you go to any sort of school. Every Ivy League has, I went to Harvard.
Yes.
Yeah. Every Ivy League has, like, a professional degree that you can pay for, essentially, in some, like, roundabout
Josh
way.
Josh did that. Josh literally went to bartending school at Columbia so that he could say, I went to Columbia. He did it.
Well, that's crazy.
pay a couple hundred dollars and now he's a certified
Are you
bartender.
Sure it wasn't Columbia?
No, but maybe it wasn't.
Are you sure
but
it wasn't like, Columbia?
But remember when Sierra went there? It's like, she's so excited. She's wearing her Harvard shirt. These courses, and I'm assuming it's the same one that Farrah goes to, because a lot of people do this. It's not just celebrities. A lot of people do this. But don't forget, you pay, I think, $10,000, somewhere around those lines, and you go to school for 3 days. It's a three-day program. Katie Holmes has done it. Sierra has done it. DJ Khaled has done it. Channing Tatum has done it. Like, they do it. Oh, remember Tyra Banks did it. Like, they do it for the headline, and it always works. It's just like, it would have worked for Farrah Abraham, but she, like, she didn't do it right.
So
like,
why wouldn't you think that that Farrah Abraham, who is a social impact activist, serial entrepreneur, CEO, author, keynote speaker, mentor, director, producer, investor, self-made businesswoman, and getting her MA at Harvard? Why don't you think that that's true? Because that's what her Instagram says. That's what it says. And she has 30,000 followers and over 500 plus connections.
On LinkedIn?
Yeah. And her profile image has a Getty watermark on it. So don't tell me that this woman isn't going to Harvard University.
Her LinkedIn profile image has a watermark over her face. So you can really barely tell that it's Farrah Abraham.
Over her face. Okay? So don't tell me that Farrah Abraham isn't going to Harvard University in the fall.
Last
on Moving
the list.
On. This is Courtney Sodden is engaged?
This is big. And I feel like it's still strange.
Well, you know what's happening with this, why it's interesting. We didn't really talk about this, but the Courtney Stodden engagement news is being put side by side with everything that Chrissy Teigen is doing. So it's like, Teigen, blah, 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 blah. Well, Courtney Stodden gets engaged. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Poses with their husband or their fiance, Chris, you know?
Exactly. Who is sort of like he seems like he's also just like a startup-y entrepreneur guy. His name is Chris Shang. And there's not much to know about him. Again, I think it's because he's like, he reminds me of Jennifer Garner's boyfriend, that guy like Jim or something, who's like vaguely startup-y, but he also works in film in some way. So I guess it's like he has money and he like is a producer in some way.
I think it's literally a guy who has a lot of money. So someone said, hey, do you want to produce a movie? Because literally producing a movie is like the thing you do if you want to go to parties in LA, you know, and you have a lot of money. So, you know,
the point is, it's a nice win for Courtney Stodden. And they have had like not the best spring after, you know, talking more about Doug Hutcherson. Like every new detail you get about the relationship is like disgusting. And there's been a lot of like reexamination about like the way that that was discussed and the way that people weren't as maybe openly worried for them
as
they should have been.
I do think, though, they're probably happy in maybe a little way that it's finally coming to light that this wasn't a great time for them, because they were like, you know, they spent all those years like being essentially bullied and laughed at. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of like, okay, like maybe let's turn this into like a little bit of an empowering thing. And actually, they've been trying to bring those Chrissy Teigen tweets to light for years.
Years. And it finally
Because I've known about them forever, you know. Ooh. We've always known about them.
People had been like retweeting them pretty frequently, and they weren't actually deleted from Chrissy's feed until quite recently. Like they were very easy to find up until recently. So it's not a thing that bubbled out of nowhere for Courtney.
Well,
what's
crazy that it took a profile or an interview in the Daily Beast. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Marlo Stern for bringing that to light. I mean, it's crazy to me that it took press.
It's already there, yeah. But it
literally that somehow kicked off everyone saying, oh wait, these are really nasty. Oh mm-hmm. wait, Chrissy. But it was kind of the perfect storm of Chrissy Teigen, you know, leaving Facebook, leaving Twitter, coming back to Twitter, all these things with her and this moment. And I think that's kind of what ended up being what happened.
Exactly.
Because
it wasn't
now.
It didn't just happen in a bubble. Right. Like people were annoyed with Chrissy Teigen for other reasons. And this was sort of just like the final straw in a way.
Yeah.
And she's already, Chrissy is back on like, I think Chrissy just came back to Instagram. Like
she posted her kid,
The thing about Chrissy Teigen is like Chrissy Teigen is good at weathering storms.
Yeah.
But to see the impact of
Courtney. And she really likes being on the internet no matter what.
She will find a way to make the internet work for her. Like, that's just how she is. But it's like, it is surprising that it finally worked out for Courtney, because it's sort of like, you've been hoping, like, they've been getting L after L after L. Like, finally, Courtney gets to chalk up a win, which is cool. And so It's nice that they're being able to follow up this like kind of miserable news with something happy. Just like, you know what? Talking about my past trauma. I'm engaged.
Let's be a little cynical for just a second. They love the media. They love press. They love being in the news. They love, you know, come on. Like, this is a person who has released music that we love and has posted kind of everything, right? They've been around the block in terms of like being in Page Six, being in Radar, being in all these things. So like, I'm not surprised that they use this little bump of press where they're finally getting some attention and respect to say, oh, I'm also engaged. Be happy for me. You know, like, this just seems like they're high on this, on their own supply of positive media, but it's positive like, press.
I got to say, as cynical as you can be about it, I still love seeing two celebrities who recently got engaged at Disneyland, like wearing Chanel Mickey Mouse ears. You know,
he's like holding them in his arms. They're wearing Chanel Mickey ears and wearing, not no offense, but like, I've been to Disney, and when you go to Disneyland and you walk around in the hot sun for hours and wait in line or whatever, which I'm sure they're not doing, but whatever, you have to wear like battle gear. You know, you can't wear just like a pretty dress. And Courtney Slaughton is wearing like the most like, I'll give it to them that they're wearing sneakers, but they're also wearing like the most uncomfortable seeming look, which is like a long
dress
with a slit. I'm like, I would just be so uncomfortable, you know?
I would, the top makes sense. It's just sort of like a sports, it's like a fashion sports bra. But like the bottom is not something I would wear on a ride. like you are begging for a Final Destination destination situation with that sort of like, you long, flowy
thing. Skirt gets caught in the gears. Machinery Right.
Yeah. And Courtney's a goner. But I will say, like, they know how to play with the press. You know,
that's
say what you
saying.
Want about Courtney. They know how to make it.
That's
they know how
I'm
to make
saying.
Things about them.
Like, if you don't think that Courtney Sana is going to be lots of places where they can be photographed over the next, like, whatever months, like, you're crazy. Because, like, this is their thing. They're riding high on the attention right now, which is, like, finally, it's positive attention, not negative attention. So, good for them.
Good for them. Want to do Rita?
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Big. Biggest Rita news since she made out with Taika Waititi and Tessa Thompson.
I know that I tend to exaggerate, but when I tell you that my like tongue rolled out of my mouth and this smoke came out of my ears when I saw that Rita Ora was in Los Angeles, I was like, fucking what? Rita left Australia?
I thought she was in it to win it. Init to win it or something like that.
Init to win it?
She left.
She left Australia.
Why would you leave a good thing behind?
I cannot. Well, maybe she had to go get a vaccine or something.
Yeah, maybe there was something also involving like visas. I don't really know how long-term international travel works, but maybe it was something involving that as well.
I cannot believe she's back in LA. I mean, I'm kind of like, it would not shock me if she never sees Taika Waititi again. Like, it's just like that was like Australia Rita is over. LA Rita is back, baby. You know what I mean?
And then she'll be London Rita, like when the fall hits.
Let's see when she's allowed to be back there.
She
is filming The Voice UK or Massinger UK or whatever. So
she's filming so many things, Lindsay. Yeah, Massinger. She's filming The Voice.
Massinger.
It's everything.
I know it's everything. It is everything.
And she's filming her cameo in Thor, Love and Thunder or whatever it's called.
She's not. Technically,
pictured.
She's not. We don't know that to be true, but she might be.
We don't. Pictured: Rita Ora was pictured for the first time on Wednesday since those photos of her cozying up with Taika Waititi and Tessa Thompson as she stepped out in Los Angeles, California for a Pilates class.
Oh, if you Rita's didn't back think in LA.
That, if you didn't think nature was healing, I dare you to read that caption.
Like, truly nature is healing.
Rita's in LA at a Pilates class.
Rita Ora returning to the United States makes me feel like I can also now like fully live my life. I'm like, we're back, baby. You know,
it took this to do it for you.
I mean, it's kind of the final nail in the coffin. Oh, well, that's a bad.
What's the opposite of nail in the coffin?
It's like a nail out of the coffin. I'm coming back from the dead like Lazarus, you know?
You use the backside of the hammer to lift the nail up. What's that called?
Like a denailer. So actually, it's a nail out of the coffin as I open the coffin.
It's a final nail out of the coffin. Okay.
A final nail out of the coffin. And I'm like, hello. I pop up like Dracula, you know?
Yeah, that's great. But the most recent Instagram post that Rita posted, which was yesterday on Sunday, was her in this like very kind of honestly hideous glam that says, Australia, I can't wait for you to see The Voice AU 2021. First look tomorrow. Here we go. Filming this was so special with the amazing judges Keith Urban, Guy Sebastian, and Jessica Mauboy, The Voice AU. So now she's getting ready to promote her Australian experience. You know, I love that.
She's left Australia, but she's still, her heart is still in Sydney. But not with Taika Waititi, with the promo. The other interesting thing was, I love this. Her record label.
They have her back.
Put out a little bit of damage control because people were saying, oh, the studio was mad at Taika for being in these photos. And then her record label said, well, we have no problem with Rita. We never have a problem with her. We love her. Yeah. We don't give a shit what she does, actually.
Well, after the Marvel stuff, people were saying, well, Rita's labels really mad at her, too. And then Rita's label released an official statement. Warner Music, Discovery Plus, Pig Royalty Channel said, quote, Rita is an incredible and hardworking artist, and we loved having her in Australia. We look forward to having her back here soon.
I believe every single word. First of all, we know Rita is hardworking.
We know she's good for business.
She doesn't stop. And I believe that they loved having her in Australia because she brings a lot of attention wherever she goes, right? Mm-hmm. So I love this because they were like, how dare you imply that we're mad at her? She's not our child. We love Rita. She brings so much attention to us and she makes music steadily and some of it's even good. Okay? Bye-bye.
1/3 of her bang EP is great. We're very proud of it. Okay? The Daily Telegraph. An Australian publication referred to her leaving as quiet. They said she's quietly left LA. I mean, she's quietly left Sydney for LA, which I think
is interesting. To be fair, I didn't know she left until I saw her at Pilates. Yeah. I mean, not at Pilates, but going to Pilates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we missed this, though. Oh, God, I forgot to talk about this because I had this open in a tab, but it's not in the doc. Do you know who she had a meeting with?
Who?
She had a meeting with a big them, one of our biggest thems.
Wait, who?
She had a meeting at the Soho House with none other than Jennifer Lopez.
Wait, she met up with J-Lo?
At Soho House.
Wait,
in
so
Hollywood.
You're telling me J-Lo has been meeting with Mark Anthony,
LA schools,
Ben Affleck, just every one of her exes, and Rita?
Rita Ora. The 51-year-old Waiting for Tonight superstar was seen emerging from her convertible Bentley in a multicolored dress for a meeting with a 30-year-old Let You Love Me singer on Wednesday, June 2nd in West Hollywood, California.
Fuck.
Jennifer was seen carrying a black leather Chanel purse as she arrived for the meeting. Rita wore a low-cut jumpsuit. It is not yet known what they were meeting to discuss.
It's irrelevant, but I wonder, this is my most cynical brain, is did Rita reach out when she saw the press about Ben Affleck and J-Lo and was like, go girl, get it. And then J-Lo was like, let's get lunch when you're back in town. When are you back from Australia? And the Rita was like, oh, I'm actually coming back this week. And J-Lo was like, oh my God, finally, let's get lunch. Am I crazy for making that fanfic so familiar?
No, I think that's actually quite smart. But is Jennifer Lopez's Vegas residency coming back? Like, what could Rita Ora be piggybacking on? Because you know it's not the inverse. Like, J-Lo's not piggybacking on Rita.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't even think this is a collab. I think this is literally just to, like, catch up. Like Rita
We're pals.
Yeah, almost. Because Rita's fun and gossipy, and J-Lo knows that, you know? Right? Like,
yeah,
I'm not even sure this is a business meeting.
Why do that publicly? You know, like, why not just have her over to your house? You know, why go to the Soho House to have a personal meeting?
Because Rita Ora does everything in broad daylight.
Except having COVID protocol breaking parties. She does it under the cover of night.
Well, unless
she does
it's illegal.
Under the cover of night.
Right. Unless it's illegal. But we find out anyways, which is, you know, she should know by now.
Well, I'm eager to find out. If you are an insider who knows why Jennifer Lopez was at a meeting at the Soho House in West Hollywood with Rita Ora, please let us know.
She's like bump. She's like pushing up at that, at the C-list or the B-list category with her hands. I just see her like, you know, standing on the whatever she is and pushing upward, you know?
Yes. And I think with that, though, we are done. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. Keep calling in at 619 Who. Them to leave questions, comments, and concerns.
Support us on patreon.com/who. And also, we were on the In Case You Missed It podcast. So go check us out over there talking about Bennifer.
Yes. That was a lot of fun. Go listen to that. And yeah, we'll see you on Friday. Bye.
Bye.
You will, Jayla. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.